Blog Talk Radio.
Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Messiah, Yahushua, we give praise to your holy name, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing of seeing another day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of seeing another Sabbath day. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, through your Son, we ask for the forgiveness of the sin we have committed against you, collectively and individually, Heavenly Father. We ask that you forgive all of your people whom you have called, whom you have chosen. Cleanse us by the blood of your Son, Heavenly Father, of our iniquity, that we may stand before you in purity, in holiness, in righteousness, Heavenly Father, being cleansed by the blood which was shed for all humanity. Gracious and merciful Father, strengthen your people according to your divine will, that we may live our lives, Heavenly Father, in obedience to your Torah, in submission to your Torah, doing all and only that which is pleasing in your sight. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, lead and guide us this day, that we may lift holy hands before you, Heavenly Father, that we may praise you with the sincerity of heart and mind, Heavenly Father, for all of the wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, for allowing us, Heavenly Father, to get through the week that has just passed, Heavenly Father, helping us to overcome the various hindrances that we face each and every day of our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your loving kindness and sending forth your correction, Heavenly Father, when we go astray to the right or to the left. And we pray in the name of your Son that you continue to do so, that we may all maintain our faith, Heavenly Father, even the faith of our patriarch, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Heavenly Father. Continue to move your teachers by your Spirit, that we may all deliver your word according to your divine will. Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are suffering this day, Heavenly Father, those who are suffering from mental and emotional ailments, Heavenly Father, we pray that you bring them comfort. Those who are suffering from physical ailments, which are debilitating to them, Heavenly Father, we pray that you bring them relief, Heavenly Father, that we may all bask in your glory and your presence and enjoy your Sabbath day. Holy One of Israel, we come before you presenting, petitioning thee in the name of your Son, through whom you have promised us all things, gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, Mashiach Yahushua. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Hathura, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. And welcome to Study to Show Thyself Approved, and the continuation of that passage, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. This morning, as we continue the discussion on relationships, what we're going to be looking at is a particular subject that was brought up yesterday evening, or I shouldn't say yesterday because we're currently in the Sabbath day, but I should say earlier in the Sabbath day. Now, we want to look at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And we want to take a close look, because when you think about, again, relationships, which is what we are discussing, and at the initial class on relationships, one of the points that was made is that the most important relationship, the most significant relationship, is that between humanity and the Most High. The most important by far. Relationship is in good standing. Your relationship with fellow man would also be in good standing. So how can we say that? Well, one thing we can do, take a look at something before we get to Deuteronomy, that is. This is something that the Messiah taught when he walked the earth. And you find this in, give me a moment, I'm looking for the passage. Where he explains the greatest commandment. So in Matthew chapter 22, the great commandment. We're going to start at verse 34. We want to get an idea of exactly what the Most High is saying here. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yahushua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, the relationship between humanity and the Most High. That relationship is based on the fact that we are obedient to his voice. When we talk about how we show forth love to the Creator, right? Taking us to something else that the Messiah said. This is in John chapter 14 and verse 15. And it's a very simple phrase. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay. Now, what we have to see at this point is that the Messiah, he stands as a spokesperson. the representative of our Heavenly Father. So when he delivers this message, he says in another place that he only speaks those things that the Father commanded him to speak, only move according to the will of the Most High. So when he says that, we have to open our hearts and open our minds to see that it is not just the Messiah who is making this statement. It is also our Heavenly Father, Yah, through the Messiah that is making that statement. So now, to maintain the relationship, to show forth that we love our Heavenly Father through his Son, we are giving this phrase, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, as was stated earlier, the relationship between humanity and the Most High, if it is in good standing, then the relationship between other brothers and sisters or our fellow man or fellow woman would also be in good standing. How do we know this? Because incorporated within the commandments of the Most High, as we saw, is the command to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, when we show forth love to the Creator, we are also going to show forth that love to humanity, which is why, first and foremost, that's why he said even, the first and great command, you see, the first and great command in these relationships. So now, that being said, let's return to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we want to go down to the last passage, 29, and I'm going to read that through, because this was the passage that was sent out, and this is the passage that is going to be the foundation, if you will, of what we will be taking a look at today. Now, this is Brother Moshe again. And when you think about Deuteronomy or Devarim, one of the things that we learn about this particular book is now Moshe has been unleashed, so to speak. This is figuratively, of course. And I say that because all up until that point, the passages that we read in reference to Moshe, and Yahweh speak unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel. And Yahweh speak unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel. Now, when we get to Devarim, we finally hear Moshe speak unto the sons of Israel. The Most High has been teaching him up to this point. He is now going to teach to Israel. So he gets down to this particular point of his lesson. When Yahweh, your mighty one, shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto Yahweh, your mighty one. For every abomination to Yahweh, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereunto, nor diminish from it. Now, that part right there, all of that, rather. Here, what Brother Moshe is doing, he is encouraging Israel. What is he encouraging Israel to do? Well, when you get to the final statement of the chapter, summarized in, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it. So we're going to start there. What things did the Most High command us to do? So we have the whole Torah, all of the teachings before us, right? So whatever it is within those teachings, this is what we have been commanded. He goes a little further and says, thou shalt not add thereto. Now, what does it mean to add to the word of the Most High? How do we add to the word of the Most High? Here's an example. Passages pertaining to the false prophet, right? Matter of fact, let's turn to one real quick. Still in Deuteronomy, we want to go to chapter 18. And it's something that the Most High says, or rather, Moshe says by way of the Most High. And you go down to verse 20, okay? And it says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. So now, what we're finding out is that the true test of a spokesperson of the Most High in the name of the Creator, and that thing not come to pass, the Most High didn't say that thing. So, in other words, when we go back to what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 12, in verse 32, when he says, thou shalt not add thereto, what he's saying, as a spokesperson of the Most High, what we should not do is say that the Most High said something when he did not say it. Whenever we do that, what we are doing, we are adding to his word. This is how, if we say that Yahweh said and Yahweh did not say, we have just added to his word. Matter of fact, we looked at a passage pertaining to that in regard to the tradition of the elders. And basically what happens is the elders have decided to incorporate certain teachings. And when they incorporate these teachings, they are basing it on another passage in Torah that says that if a judgment or a sentence is given, then Israel has the obligation to adhere to that judgment. Judgment, and this is the point that Mashiach was making, if that judgment or that decision causes people to go contrary to the ways of the Most High, then that is something that has now been added to that word. That is something that we should not adhere to. And the point that the Messiah was making is how now, because of the tradition of the elders, you reject the commandments of Yahweh. That was his point. So that's how sometimes we have a tendency to add to his word. Now, at the same time, he says, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Now, when we diminish from it, what are we doing? We're taking something that the Most High said, and now we're casting it to the wayside, and we're saying, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to observe that anymore. Going right back to the same example with the tradition of the elders. What the Messiah was saying was this. Torah teaches how we should honor our father and our mother. Now, when he says that, he is talking about taking care of our parents when they are unable to take care of themselves. What the teachers or the elders have now incorporated is a law that now says if you have something that is a gift, or the word that they would use, korban, you can take that gift, give it to the assembly, to the elders, and you can say that this is korban, I'm unable to honor my father and my mother. And they gave justification to it because in the eyes of those who were following them, well, this is a gift for the Creator. I think it's more important for me to take this gift and give it to the elders rather than to honor my father and my mother with it. That's the mindset. But what the Messiah was bringing out when you instituted that law, what you just did, honor thy father and thy mother, thereby you have just diminished the word of Yahweh. Because you took away from it by adding something that shouldn't have been to the, added in the first place. So, Deuteronomy 12:32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. So, brothers and I, we had a question. We had a situation. Well, not a situation, it was a question. Thought. All right. Now, in the scriptures, I want to read this, by the way, so give me a moment to pull this up. And it's something that the Messiah said. Okay, something that the Messiah said. And you find it in Matthew chapter 11. Now, what I want to do, I'll start at verse 1. And we're going to read there. And we'll see what it is that we're talking about. We want to start at verse 1 just to get the thought of it. Okay, so Matthew chapter 11, starting verse 1. And it came to pass when Yahushua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their city. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Yahushua answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Yahushua began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Let's just stop right here for a minute and consider what the Messiah is saying about John the Baptist. He's not just acknowledging him as being a prophet. He says, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written. Now he's going to connect the work of John the Baptist with something that was prophesied. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Do we hear what the Messiah is saying about this man? This is the greatest testimony any person can get from the Creator himself. He says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of the heavens is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Eliah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But now he's going to start talking about the people. He just gave one of the greatest testimonies about a person, one of the servants of the Most High, that I believe that you'll find one among other testimonies that you'll find in Holy Scripture. Now he's going to start addressing the people who came out there to hear John speak. Verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. What is he saying? Take your mind now to children playing in the marketplace. Take your mind to those who may have instruments. And people still do this today, actually. If you walk downtown, which is considered to be somewhat of a marketplace, because you have different shopping areas, you may see somebody posted up playing drums on some buckets. Okay? I mean, these are things children do. They may kick a few lyrics. They may have somebody out there dancing, et cetera, et cetera. But it depends. But this is what he's saying. He's using that as an example. He's using something that they can relate to. He says, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. In other words, we have given you a reason to dance, but you're not even dancing. He said, we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. So whatever it is that we're given, you're not responding appropriately or accordingly. This is what he's saying. In other words, he's using this analogy to say there was something being done, Israel, and you have not been responding accordingly. Okay? This is what he's saying. Then he gets to this one. And now he gives you the extremes. Okay? Because you have the one extreme in the verse 17, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. Okay? Which is supposed to represent a time of joy. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented, which is supposed to represent a time of sorrow. So you have two extremes being represented. So now he's going to give another example of two extremes. And this is the focal point of what we want to look at right now. For John came neither eating nor drinking. Stop right there. What does that mean? John came neither eating nor drinking. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, we can turn to that. It says, and this is about John the Baptist. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. We see the same testimony in the book of Mark, chapter 1, and verse 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. So when it says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, what does that, because we just seen some passages that clearly say, well, he did eat. He ate locusts and wild honey. Right? So what did the Messiah mean by that? He said he came neither eating nor drinking. So that's, as human beings, one thing we do know is that you are not going to survive if you don't drink water. Exception being the times where Messiah or Moses or Elijah fasted, or Daniel who fasted for 21 days, those being the exceptions. But at some point, they resumed eating and drinking. They only fasted, withdrew themselves from food and drink for a period of time. Okay? So when it said that John came neither eating nor drinking, basically what that is saying, John was committed to what we refer to today as an aesthetic lifestyle. Okay? Now, the word aesthetic, what does that mean? All right. Looking up the definition. Okay, the word that I'm using is not the word that I want to use, aesthetic. It's another term that I'm looking for. Let me see. Well, I don't see the word that I want to say. It's not aesthetic. The way that John lived, I'll just explain it to you instead of trying to find the word. The way that John lived, he lived a life that was of restraint. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody else saying nothing. So what's the word that I'm looking for?
Severe discipline, self-discipline.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That's the word I'm looking for. All right. But and like the sister was saying, it's a lifestyle of severe discipline to the point where he could have eaten whatever he wanted to eat within the parameter of Torah, but he chose to eat locusts and wild honey. Okay? And when he says eating nor drinking, now it's going to be contrasted with the Son of Man, which we're going to see. It doesn't mean that he didn't drink anything. It just means that he refrained from drinking alcoholic beverages. Because when you talk about drinking, you're not just talking about drinking, you know, some grape juice. You're talking about drinking something that has now been fermented and can possibly cause intoxication. So now, in contrast, let me read the whole passage. He's talking to Israel. This is what Israel did. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. So this man, he lived this lifestyle of restraint and discipline, and he refrained from doing things that the regular people that you were able to do, but you chose not to do. Then he gives this example, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Stop right there. Now, the beauty in this passage that I believe is when he says the Son of Man, he's talking about himself now. He said, the Son of Man, I came eating. So whatever it is that I could eat, guess what? I'm eating it. That's what he said. He said, whatever it is that I can drink, guess what? I'm drinking it. Because he said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. That's what he said. Now, the again, the beauty of the passage, now let's kind of focus on the Messiah for a moment. The scripture says in reference to him, that he, above all human beings, is the only individual who lived his life without sin. That's what it says. But he came eating and drinking, right? And then what did they say? And they say, behold, a man gluttonous. Look at what they called the Messiah. They said he was a glutton. Doesn't mean that he was, but based on their perception, you know, you eat a lot, man. You eat a lot. That's what they're saying about him. This man, he eat a lot. But not only did they call him a gluttonous, they also called him and a wine bibber. You know what that means? And has a tippler. You know, that's somebody who be drinking that wine. So he came eating and drinking, but the point is, and then it goes on further. It says, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now what are you talking about? Okay? Publican. Now, to Israel, the publicans were the ones like Matthew. He was a tax collector. Okay? In other words, a publican, that means you work for the government, all right? That's basically what he was. And because he was an Israelite and he worked for the government, people had an issue with Matthew and people, but then it says, and sinners. Now, we're looking at this from the perception of Israel and how they viewed these men. We know that Israel, they had their way of life, the tradition of the elders and all of that. It could be the Sadducees, it could be the Pharisees, but there was some agreement to some of the tenets of Judaism. And I'm not trying to get into that discussion right now, but just trying to make this point. So we only have the brothers in here, so we already had this discussion. Okay? But what else are we learning from that passage is the question. Now, and let me ask it to you this way, just so you can think about it. When it comes to serving the Creator, how do we serve the Creator? And the question was asked earlier in the group text that went out, are we prohibited from doing? Now, you had two men being described. We read one of the greatest testimonies that the Messiah gave about John. He came neither eating nor drinking. So the question is, should we live our lives like John the Baptist? Should we have that strong, disciplined life of restraint? Should our diet be as minimal as it should be? Should we refrain from alcoholic beverages like he did? Because this is what he said. In spite of him doing that, guess what? People still have something bad to say about him. He got a devil. The Messiah touched by, no, he ain't. He's moving because Abba said in that word, he going to come and do exactly what he did. So he did everything he did according to the word of Yah. But people still say he had a devil, right? But then here comes the Son of Man. I'm rubbing elbows with the publicans and the sinners. Y'all eating? Fix me a plate. Y'all drinking? Here go my cup. That's what he's saying. I believe that one of the first miracles of the Messiah, he turned water into wine. How are you going to tell me not to drink when the first thing you do is make some wine? The first miracle. Right? But there's a point being made here, too, and what we were discussing. These two men, we can agree, are both servants of the Most High. But within the parameter of Torah, one chose to live his life this way, the other chose to live his life that way, but they were still considered to be righteous. They didn't do the exact same thing. So the question for us as the students of the Bible, what is that teaching us? Because, see, a lot of times people think that when you look at the Bible, everybody's going to do everything exactly the same. Right? It's about choices. But here's the deal. When you go back to our foundational passage, right? Let's go back to Deuteronomy now. He says, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. So within that, within what was given in the Torah, We have freedom to move around and operate. We know our limitations. We know we get to a certain point. We can't go beyond this. Okay? That's what the Torah does. Okay? Even when you look at the whole idea of the commandment, the mitzvah, and the word and how it's formed, you know, the sides being connected. These are the parameters that have been given to us. So whatever is within the parameters, we can do, so long as we're not adding to it and not taking anything away from it. So within the parameters of Torah, somebody can say, you know what, locust is a clean animal, so I'm going to choose just to eat locusts and honey. Somebody say within the parameters of the Torah that it's okay for me to have some wine if I want to drink some wine. It's okay for me to eat whatever other meats are available or breads are available if I choose to do so, so long as I'm not stepping out of the bounds. Do we understand that much? Okay, so because we're getting that. So now let's go up for a minute. Let's go back up when it says in verse 29. Let's kind of read back down to verse 31 and see the thought behind this. When Yahweh your mighty one shall cut off the nations whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. Okay? After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their God? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto Yahweh, your mighty one, for every abomination to Yahweh, which he hateth, have they done unto their mighty ones. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their mighty ones. So now, let's talk about a couple things. One of the issues that has been coming up is the issue about birthdays and anniversaries, which was included in the text. So what we want to know, are we wrong when we celebrate those things? Okay? Now, that was a situation that happened last year with baby showers. And again, the brothers and I, we talked about it. The elders, we talked about that. And what the quote-unquote ruling was, if you will, what was revealed, and I believe by the Creator, is that when we look at a lot of the practices that go on in the world surrounding us, no, we should not participate in a lot of those practices because they do come from man. So what the ruling was with in regard to baby showers, we don't do that anymore. There was a time period where we were doing that, but now I'm saying this. What a baby shower is, according to man, person has a child, somebody in the household, or family member, whatever, and you decide that you want to give that person something, some Pampers, some wipes, some milk, or whatever. That's your choice. You're not wrong for doing that because now somebody some help. Anybody who has kids know how it is when these kids are young. You can't have too many Pampers. You ain't going to have too much wipes. You ain't going to have, if they're going to use the formula, preferably they would breastfeed, but if they're doing the formula, you can't have too much milk, you know, because the baby going to go through all that stuff. So if you want to help in that way, that's fine. That's one of the things we talked about. But what we're not going to do, we're not going to say, rent out this room, get a DJ, get a whole bunch of food, and now I'm going to have a big party and celebrate it, because that's what baby showers are becoming today. You know, they're becoming another reason for man to celebrate. And the word that the Creator put on my heart this morning is the word aggrandizement, okay, aggrandizement. Now, basically what that word means is to make something bigger, to make something larger. And humanity has a tendency to do that. We make things bigger and larger than what they really are. So when it comes to birthday, and I'm going to ask what could be, what may be considered a trick question. If you know the answer to it, don't say anything. Just think about it for a minute. Because I ran across this question some years ago. And the question was, how many birthdays does the average person have? So initially, when people read that, you're going to start thinking, well, it's hard to put a number. How many birthdays does an average person have? You know, and if you're a Bible believer, first thing that may come to your mind, well, the Creator said he's going to allow us 70 years, so maybe about 70 birthdays. You know, so I'm saying people laughing because they know the answer, I'm assuming, right? But now, he said, okay, so how many birthdays does the average person have? You got one birthday. You're only born one time. Every individual has one birthday. You're born once. Okay? That's it. Next year, whatever the day was that you were born, you aren't born again when these days come up. So the whole concept of celebrating a birthday, where it come from? When we just take a moment and think about it. So now, but now, when I say celebrated, this is what I'm talking about. All of the fanfare that goes into what people do, what we see the world doing when it comes to celebrating a birthday, right? So does that mean now on this day I'm expecting a call from somebody to tell me happy birthday? I'm expecting for somebody to shoot me a text. I'm expecting to get a card or something to acknowledge this is the day or the anniversary of the day that I was born. See, when we get to that point, and fairly recently, my wife and I was talking about it when it happened. One of the celebrities, and I think it was J-Lo, she had a birthday celebration that lasted for like 6 or 7 days. See, what you just did, you just put your the in honoring the day that you was born, you just put it on par, and I bet you she ain't keeping pace up. I bet you she ain't keeping that. I bet you she ain't acknowledging Chag HaMatzah. But she will honor something that's beneficial to her, but not regard something that's for the Most High. Okay? See, that's where we get into the danger zone. But here on the flip side to that. So we already discussed this, you know, a little while ago as far as celebrating birthdays and everything that goes to celebrating birthday. But let me ask you this. As a person, okay, if the day that you were born comes up, are you wrong for giving praise to Allah before allowing you to get through another year? Is that wrong? Is that something that we should not do? Because we need to understand that. Because I believe that's something else that we talked about before. Now, going all out, you know, and when it comes to birthday celebrations and things like that. No, we don't want to do that, because now what we're doing, we just made it a feast day, a festival day. But if you want to do something because you acknowledging, Abba, I'm thankful that, I mean, see, and even with the whole idea of being thankful and everything, like, if you woke up this morning, and I try to get into the practice of doing that. Every morning you wake up, that's a reason to praise Yahweh. Not just that one time of the year, every single day. We praise him for getting through the week from one Sabbath to another Sabbath. We praise him for getting to a month from one new moon to another new moon. We give praise to him from getting from one year to another year. We pray, I made it through these 12 months. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because I came into the earth. You brought me into the earth on this day. And I think that's where we have to have things balanced out when it comes to the honoring of the day that you were brought forth into this world. Not to the point where you're making some grand celebration about it, but it's okay to give thanks to the Most High, because you're supposed to be doing that anyway. Same thing with anniversary. You know, what is that? I mean, when we talked about the first miracle that the Messiah did, guess where he was at? He was at a wedding feast. It was a time for celebration, you know? So now the question is, do we need to have that celebration repeated every year on the day that we were married 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, if that's something that we're supposed to be doing? Well, when we do that, this is where we got to come to the understanding. Now we're putting it on par with a feast or a festival. That's what we're doing. We're holding a celebration in honor of something for us. Okay? That's what we're doing. But here's the other question, because we got to look at it from the flip side. As a husband and a wife who are in a marriage, right, is it wrong for that husband and wife to be thankful to the Most High for getting through a week of marriage, or just getting through a month of marriage, let alone an entire year living with this person, learning this person? Is it wrong for that man and that woman to say, hallelujah, thank you, Father, because if it wasn't for you, I couldn't have done it? Is that wrong? It's about perspective sometimes. Because, see, what we don't want to do when it comes to aggrandize, we can aggrandize in a whole lot of different ways. Remember how the sisters used to wear the veil? Now, looking back at it, because they don't do that anymore, guess what we were doing? We aggrandize wearing the veils. Wear it all the time. Whenever you step out your house, put on that veil. There's not a passage in the Bible that teaches that. But we didn't have a problem aggrandizing that. See? But in our minds at the time, we thought it was the right thing to do. So we come to the realization, if that's the case, if that's what Abba really wanted, then we have questions as it pertains to Rebecca. Rebecca wasn't veiled. She didn't put the veil on until she seen identity veil. Why would Tamar have to put on a veil to keep her identity hidden from Judah if it's something that she's doing all the time? I mean, little things like that start to pop up. Not to mention the fact that Brother Shaul come along and he just snipped it in the bud when the woman pray or when the woman prophesied again. But brothers, we talked about that. What's that all about? When the presence of the Creator is being invoked, that's when that woman covers up. Otherwise, you're free from that. When prayer, prophecy is going forth. Okay? And I'm just interjecting that to give an example of how we can aggrandize in the other direction. So regarding the whole birthdays and anniversary and things like that, we want to be careful, you know, and that's that fine line, okay? We want to be careful not to step over that, because I believe what we do sometimes, we put restrictions on ourselves that need not be put on us. We want to be careful not to do that, you know, because now what we're doing, we just added to that word. And there's something that I wanted to show. Going back to the passage we're looking at, listen to what it says. Verse 30 and 31 again. It says, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after that mighty one, saying, how did these nations serve their mighty ones? That right there, what is that telling us? When we see what the world is doing, and now what we want to do, oh, I like the way they do that. Let's incorporate that into the worship of the Most High. That's what he's talking about in this passage. Let's incorporate that into the worship. Listen to what he says. How did these nations serve their mighty ones? Even so will I do likewise. He said, thou shalt not do so unto Yahweh, your mighty one. For every abomination, this is what you want to do. This is a study for everybody. Put that word abomination into your search engine for your Bible program. And look at every passage, that's a lot of passages, look at every passage in the Bible that teaches about abomination, abominations, and see exactly what the Bible says is an abomination to the Creator. Because when he says that, that's what he means. Now, the word in Hebrew for abomination is tohu bohu, all right? And it means something disgusting. What is it that the Most High considers to be disgusting or abhorrent? Well, the Bible can, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 6, he gives 7 things that he considers to be abominations, that he thinks that he hates, all right? But let's get back to the fact. He says, thou shalt not do so unto Yahweh, your mighty one, for every abomination to Yahweh, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. Then he gives an example. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What he just did, he gave an example of how they worship their God. That's what he's talking about. So when you do certain things as far as a worship to the Creator, okay, when you're following after the abominations of the people of the world, and what you find when you get into more definition of abomination, you see that it's connected to idolatry. You see that it's connected to worshiping some false deity of some sort. Passage we want to look at in Isaiah chapter 5. He says, verse 11, we're going to go down to verse 11. Now, he's talking about the wicked. Now, matter of fact, let's start at verse 8. He says, woe unto them that join house to house, lay field to field, till there be no place. They may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said Yahweh of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. He says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Now, we just read a passage where the Messiah said he can't eat and drinking, right? But now he's getting more specific to rise up early in the morning, following after strong drink. And that continue until night, till wine inflame them. What does that imply? Okay, that's your life. With that bottle, okay? That's all you're doing. He says, and the harp, verse 12, and the vial and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of Yahweh, neither consider the operation of his hand. What is he talking about now? He's talking about when man come together and do all of these different celebrations. But this is the piece that you don't want to lose sight of. But they regard not the work of Yahweh, neither consider the operation of his hand. So now let's go back to the parameters of Torah again. Okay? What are we permitted to do what are we prohibited from doing? And no, we haven't scratched the surface about all the passages that we can go through. We're just touching on a few things. What we see in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he's telling us not to even ask about what the rest of the nations are doing in worship to their God. Okay? Don't even inquire, he says. Because everything that they're doing out there is abominable to the Most High. Abominations. Okay? So when it comes to, again, the celebrating of certain events, we have to be mindful to the point that we're not celebrating these days like we would to celebrate a Pesach or a Sabbath day for all of that. I had a conversation with a couple of people when I first got this new position at my job. And something came up, and I wanted to nip it in the bud immediately so we won't have this issue. Something came up about some holiday, and I just made it clear and plain. The thing that I observe are the holy days in Leviticus 23. Well, that's something that we all should do. Okay? The only thing that we should observe is those holy days in Leviticus chapter 23. But here's another question. And we kind of touched on this before. Because when we get into the total getting rid of everything, here's what we also got to get rid of, okay? When we think about what man has contributed, right? And if we look at what man has contributed and we use as an explanation to not doing certain things because this is something that man did because with tradition of the elders and stuff like that, right? So what is it that we're not supposed to take part in? Because when you get, and when I say man has contributed, think about it this way. Think about anything that's not in the Bible. Because one explanation people may give, well, this is not found in the Bible, or that's not found in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where he did that. Show me in the Bible where he did that. Okay? Show me in the Bible where you see somebody driving a car. People look at it, man, what that got to do with anything? Well, the Bible never mentioned nothing about no Hondas or no Fords or no Mercedes or no BMW, no driving some mechanical thing with, you know, wheels. It never mentions that. It mentions a chariot. Maybe we all should invest in getting some horses and getting some chariots because we can find that in the Bible. We can't find cars in the Bible. That sounds kind of foolish, though. But I'm using that as an example because some people say, well, if it's not found in the Bible, then we shouldn't be doing it. It's a lot of things that ain't found in the Bible that people doing because everybody getting up for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a holiday. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Tomorrow, that's not an average old Sunday. Tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday. The whole 16 to 20 weeks getting up to that one big celebration. It's a celebration. How we know that? That's like people around the holiday. They have Christmas parties, right? They have New Year's Eve parties. Guess what? They're having a Super Bowl party at a whole bunch of different places tomorrow. That's a big celebration. How many people going to be nestled up in their home watching a Super Bowl? Ain't no nothing mentioned of no football in the Bible. Why are we watching that? Why are we watching basketball? I just bought me 2 tickets to see the Black Panther. Ain't nothing about no movies in the Bible. What am I going to the movies to see some people acting like they something when they really ain't? Ain't no Black Panther. Ain't no Wakanda. That stuff don't exist. Why are we going to see all of this foolishness? That ain't in the Bible. You understand the point that I'm making? So when we say these things, we have to be very careful how far we go with it. No, because now we have to look at the parameters of Torah. Are we going outside of the Torah if we watch a movie? Are we doing that? Are we going outside of Torah if we watch a football game? Are we going outside of Torah if we get in our car and drive wherever we want to drive? Because when we use the example that it's not in the Bible, it's not in the Bible, it's not in the Bible, we are endangering ourselves. We don't think about that, though. That's not the excuse. See, that's why to his word either. You know, something Rabbi taught years ago, and one of the things I really loved about Rabbi is something that he understood. He understood the parameters of Torah. He understood what he was able to do and what he was not able to do in Torah. Rabbi was free. He was free. And he knew the liberties, you know, and as dangerous, but he knew and he understood the liberties that we had as believers. See, what people think is righteousness and holiness is just to accumulate restriction after restriction after restriction. But hold up. What Abba requires of us is something real simple. Do what I said. I get all the instructions. Just do that. But see, a lot of times, this is what man want to do. We, at least this is what man thinks he's going to do. We're going to improve upon the word. That's where Israel get into making all these senses. That's part of the reason why we in this situation in the first place. Somebody thought they can improve upon what I was saying. It's not enough just to say, don't eat it. You have to add, don't touch it either. He ain't say that. Just don't eat it. If you wanted to touch it and smell how it smelled, you could have touched it. As long as you didn't put it in your mouth and digest it, you couldn't have done that. But now that you added something, it provoked other events to take place. He wants us to do what he said to do. We don't have to add restriction. We got restriction. We don't have to keep compounding on the word. We got exactly what it is that we got. And we can't even do that. We think we can perfect Torah. I believe the scriptures even teach that the Torah of Yahweh is perfect. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't want to take nothing from it. We want to utilize it the way that it was given to us. And that's the parameter that's supposed to be God in our lives. Okay? Let's look at another passage. This is something that Brother Shaul says. He says, all things, oh, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Okay. Are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So now, this is where the choices come in. As a believer, you got two people that were given as an example. You got John the Baptist, you got the Messiah. John the Baptist chose that I'm going to live my life, you know, what's the word again? Huh?
Ascetic.
Ascetic, okay. All right. He chose to live that way. He didn't have to. He chose it. But within the parameters of the Torah, you can do that to restrict yourself from those things. I mean, but he chose to eat what he could eat, you know, drink water, whatever. Where the Messiah said, I'm going to utilize my freedom. And I'm going to eat, you know, what I'm able to eat within the parameters of that. See, some people try to say he probably was eating unclean food. No, he wasn't. He was eating what I was said was created to be eaten. That's what he was eating. And if I wanted to drink some strong drink or some wine, that I know I can do that. Okay? So what he says here, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, let's use the drinking as an example. You know, my wife and I, we were talking about this earlier. Now, for me as an individual, and I can speak for myself, I don't have a problem drinking. And if I drink, drinking is not going to drive me to do something else. I drink when I want to drink. When I don't want to drink, I don't drink. And it ain't like I drink all the time. I drink every now and again. Okay? If I choose one day, I'm going to drink all day. Guess what? I'm going to drink all day. But I know this is big. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I know that it doesn't have the power over me. So when I say I want to put that down, I ain't got no problem not drinking. Guess what? I smoke, and I shouldn't smoke. I have asthma. But sometimes a nice shot of some whiskey goes very well with a nice cigar. So you may catch me drinking and smoking. Oh, my goodness, what this minister up here talking about? Drinking and smoking? But it doesn't have the power over me. I don't have to have a cigar. I don't have to have a pipe. I smoke it when I choose to. I drink when I choose to. It doesn't have the power over me. And I can do that. And a lot of times, if I'm sitting with the brothers, guess what we're talking about? That word. That's what we do. We did it all the time during the time. I mean, a lot of stuff I didn't even get into. You know where I heard of that? In the church. I wasn't smoking no pipes before I came to church. Brothers got together. We had some pipes. We had some cigars. We down there sipping on some wine. Got introduced to corn liquor from the rabbi. People hearing this and they saying, oh, my goodness, what is he talking about? People going crazy, just blowing their mind. But guess what? I've made these things. Corn liquor, man, ain't make corn. I've made corn. And everything that comes from the corn, guess what? It comes from him. That corn liquor comes from him. He made it with the property that you can turn it into that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's wrong, as the scriptures say, with the lust of the flesh or the work of the flesh is drunkenness. Now, like he said in Isaiah, you can't even live without having that drink. That's the problem. And now, that's why he said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not as sweet. If you got a problem with that as an individual, you don't need to be drinking. I don't have that problem. I drink when I want to, when I put it down. I can go for weeks without having a drink. I can go months if necessary. I don't have to have that. Nothing has the power over me. Why? Because I'm within the parameters of Torah. That's what we got to start seeing. The power that we have and the freedom that we have. We don't have to keep putting more stuff on ourselves. Live your life according to what Abba gave you, and you got the freedom to do whatever you want to do within the parameters of his Torah. He says, same thing. All things are lawful for me, but all that, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, same thought. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now you got to be mine. Okay? Now, here's another thing. When you talk about edifies not. This is what, when he says this, now what he's saying, we got to be mindful of our brother. Now, something happened when a new brother came among us, and we had some liquor we was passing around. In our mind, we think we being smooth with it, not realizing the brother seeing us pass the liquor around the whole time. His vial was probably on the bottle, every place that it moved underneath the table, you know. But we were attempting to be mindful because we don't know what this brother believed, you know. But eventually he became a part of the group and he started taking some sips with us and everything. You know what I mean? But for, let's say, for a person that doesn't drink, if we come around that doesn't drink or shouldn't drink, guess what? That's the time when the brothers, we're not going to have any alcoholic beverages. Because at that point, even though we know that it's a freedom and it's something that we can do, somebody else may be knocked off or what they call it, what's that? Back on the wagon? Getting back on the wagon, get off the wagon, whatever it's called anyway. Somebody else may, it may cause them or provoke them to get back on the wagon again. You know, they may have that drinking problem. So if in that point, us utilizing that freedom would not be edifying to that individual. Okay? Got that? So we have to be mindful in those different cases of what we can and what we can do. Now, what does all of this have to do with birthdays and anniversaries? Well, for those people, some people choose to refrain from acknowledging their birthday or acknowledging their anniversary, the anniversary of their birth. That's fine. But if somebody chooses to give praise to the Most High, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody choosing to rent out a hall and send out invitations and say, come on, everybody, today is the day of my anniversary of my birth. I'm not saying we don't do that here. We don't do that. There's only one thing we celebrate. We bring our food and stuff together for Shabbat. We bring our food and our stuff together for the high holy days. Okay? Now, and that being said, is that the only time we can bring food and drink and be merry on the high holy days? Can we choose to set aside a time? Hey, brother, come on over. We're going to throw some food on the grill, play a little music, and drink some drink. Can we do that? Okay? So there's some things that it's okay to eat, to drink, and to be merry in some cases. But what we have to do, now think about this, the whole idea of gift-giving. Now, one of the things, now I'm not sure how many people did it, but one of the things that we've done to combat the whole idea of Christmas and everything, or Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, Father's Day, all that type of stuff, what we will say, well, we don't believe that we should, you know, give our love or show love by giving gifts on these particular days, because we can give gifts throughout the whole year. It doesn't have to be on a special occasion. Okay? So now let me ask you this. If we believe that, right, are we saying that, oh, I can give gifts anytime I want, but when Mother's Day comes, I can't give you nothing on that day. Or when Father's Day comes, oh, I can't give you nothing on that day. Or when the December 25th comes, oh, I can't give you nothing on that day. Or when February 14th comes, oh, I can't give you nothing on that day. Do we believe that we can give gifts whenever we want to give them, except for those days? Do we believe that? In other words, what I'm asking is this. I don't acknowledge Christmas. I don't acknowledge Easter. I don't acknowledge any of these abominable holidays, understanding that they come from the adversary. But if I also believe that I can give gifts whenever I want to give gifts, does that now mean I can't do it on those days? That an acknowledgement of that day? You understand the point that I'm asking, or the question that I'm asking? Go ahead.
It's a little double-minded.
Okay.
Because if you're saying that you can do it anytime, then those days are those days.
Okay.
You know, they're not. If you're not acknowledging that, then what difference do it make if I give you something on this particular day?
Okay. What you going to say?
I was going to say that if like that's how my father raised us.
Mm-hmm.
Any day you give a person something because if you love them, you love them.
Right.
Don't let a person, a man, tell you what day to give a person a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know I'm giving you gifts all year long,
right,
don't expect me to give you a gift on that day if I don't give you a gift on
exactly.
that day.
Exactly. And that's the thing right there. And I'm
don't
glad you said that part.
Now.
Right.
You get 300.
Exactly. And that's the piece.
Those days and now because I don't come home. Nah.
And that's the piece right there. You know. See, when people, and that's, and I believe that's where we step outside the parameters of the Torah. Because now in our mind, I'm expecting, because that's not something I'm commanded to do. Don't expect, and then to offset that, like you were saying, we do it throughout. Let me think about this. In some marriages, right, the only time that the husband and wife may have some good peaceful time could be on that anniversary. That's a problem. That's a problem if you only giving your spouse something on Valentine's Day. That's a problem. That's a problem if you only give your spouse something on Father's Day or Mother's Day. That's a problem. Because when I think about it, and we shouldn't even be so focused on getting a whole bunch of gifts, but we do understand that giving somebody something is a show of your love or your affection. There's nothing wrong with that if you want to give somebody something, but we just have to be mindful of the mindset in which we're giving it. Okay? Now,
another thing, was the gift that you're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get mad and say, oh, that's all I got. it's the supposed to be the thought of
exactly.
it. Mm-hmm. You know, but the world gives you this perception like every when we was up in Men's Fellowship.
Right.
Now, November, boy, what they got on TV, the white Lexus or the red Lexus with the white bow or the red bow.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. That's mm-hmm. putting pressure on people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, yeah, make say your love. No other way to say your love but with K's jewel and diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
Right. I mean, and then that's the other thing. That's being humble now. You know, and whatever somebody gets, the fact is, that they thought enough of you, and this is, you know, the way I want to show you how I feel about you, so I'm going to give you. Now, sometimes you may not get the gift that you want, but be thankful for what you get because somebody gave it to you and they thought about you. No, and I'm not, and we're not even promoting gift giving. Still in the parameters of the Torah, okay? Still in those parameters. But what we don't want to do, we don't want to say that giving gifts is wrong, because there's nothing in the Torah that teaches that. Matter of fact, I believe there's some places where it says that Yahweh loveth the cheerful giver. And you can look at it. He wants somebody, and I think the most important thing that we can give to one another is, like the brother was saying, is love. Sometimes that love is shown because even not just dealing with the need. You were talking about, you know, or we were talking about as far as the baby being born, and we go and give the parents what they need. Sometimes you may love somebody so much you want to give them something that they want. They may not necessarily need that, but you want to give them something that they want. Is that wrong? And these are that's why we ask the question: what are we permitted to do? What are we prohibited from doing? Is it wrong? Because I can tell you, nobody needs a cell phone. You don't need it. How do we know that we don't need it? Because I spent a lot of years of my life not even having a cell phone, because cell phones ain't even exist. So I know you can exist without cell phones, because we didn't even have the option. So I know that you can exist. There was time you existed without a telephone. So these things are not needed. These are things that people want. So it's okay now to give these types of gifts. You don't need Xbox. You don't need the PlayStation. But are those things simple? Because I don't see Xbox or PlayStation in the Bible. Is it wrong to do these things? And see, you understand the point that's being made. We have to be careful when we say what's wrong or what's, because if we're going to say, it's like you can't say, you know, all this thing's wrong, all this thing, but then the things that you like, you say and give an excuse, oh, well, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do. No, you can't do that. If you want to say all the stuff that's outside the Bible is wrong, get rid of all the stuff outside the Bible. That's the choice you're making. Okay? You can't pick and choose if you're going to have that mindset. Go ahead.
And it's interesting. You said that what came to my mind when it came pertaining to gifts. I was studying all this week. Abraham, he gave gifts to his son and set them up.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Ariel teaching, if I'm not mistaken, in Chronicles, he gave gifts to those sons and set mm-hmm. them up. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Jehoshaphat,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not
mm-hmm.
mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought gifts to the Messiah when he mm-hmm. was. So gifts are all through there, but
amen.
And we don't know what those gifts pertain to.
Amen. Amen. See, and that's another good point. I mean, and just to add to that, now, there's nothing in the Bible that we have seen thus far where we are commanded to hold a celebration when our child is weaned off the breast. So now, why did Abraham throw a feast for his son Isaac when he was weaned off the breast? Why did he do that? And now, and when we ask that question, the next question that follows that, was he wrong in doing that? Was he wrong? The Messiah gave a parable. It was the parable of the prodigal son. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole parable, but just get to the last part. When that son came back, right, that father threw a feast, told him to slay the fatted calf and everything, because he wanted to celebrate his son returning home. Was he wrong? Furthermore, why did he give that parable? And why did he give those details? And in that parable, was the father that was mentioned, was that something wrong to do to hold a celebration for the son that returned? And just add to that, when the son that stayed there came to the house, if you look at the story, it said he was walking back to the house and he heard the music and stuff. So they in there partying. And he got upset. He said, hold up, Dad. My brother took all his inheritance, went down to Las Vegas, spent all his money gambling, all his money on women, all his money on all these different things. Now he comes back and he gets to throw a little party for his friends. I've been here the whole time with you, and I ain't even been able to do that. But you know what the father told him? Man, you've been here the whole time. You could have did anything you wanted to do. Now, it's like if you wanted to take the fatted calf and you wanted to throw a little joint for your friend, you could have did that. That's what he told him. But come on, man. Your brother was dead. Now he alive. He just gave him an explanation as to why he wanted to celebrate. He was lost, but now he's found. That's the idea. But these are the little points. When we look at the parables, we look at the bigger, you know, that was being made. Somebody that's lost or found. Somebody was dead. Now they made alive again. But what about the other little details in there? No. You had a son who got upset because his father threw this party, this celebration for the brother that ran away. And now father tells him, if that's what you wanted to do, you're free to do that.
You have freedom.
You have not because you asked not. So we have to be mindful, again, when it comes to saying that we should or shouldn't do certain things. And I agree with the birthdays and the anniversaries to the point that we shouldn't make it some all-out celebration. I agree with that because nothing should compare to the Sabbath day. Nothing should compare to the high holy days that the Most High gave to us. Nothing is on that level as far as observation, you know. And as far as that goes, here's another suggestion. If you want to have times where you want to get together and do stuff like that, hey, we come together every week. We fellowshipping every week. Let's make this an occasion for celebrating. That's what it's for. Every week, make the Sabbath day that celebration. You can bring your food. Hey, guess what? You can even bring your drink. We can drink it. We don't have no problem with that. We celebrate. That's what you do. That's why even when you get into the translations of it, that's why they refer to them as feast days, festive days. The Sabbath, that's what that is. And I think part of the problem, too, and going back to the parameter, what happens with people, they put so much attention into all this other stuff, they losing out on the times that you really should be celebrating. Celebrate the fact that this is the Sabbath day, the most important day of the week to every human being, albeit everybody doesn't acknowledge it itself. This is the day that the Creator said, I'm going to stop my work. I'm going to put my presence in this day because this is the time I want all my children to come together and meet. See, and this is how the world has robbed that. When people talk about Sunday dinner at grandma's house, big mama's house, or whatever. See, you know what that originally was? Sabbath day. And it started Friday evening. See, and it lasted until this day and throughout until the sun set. That's the way it's supposed to be. So you want to celebrate, then do it on the days that Abba set aside to bring forth that celebration and give praise and worship to him on these days. That's what they're about. You see? Then you don't have a problem, because me personally, I don't have a problem not acknowledging a birthday, my birthday. I don't have a problem with not acknowledging an anniversary. Say to my wife, baby, we made it through, 28 years. Let's go out and let's get some dinner tonight. I'm not wrong for doing that because I'm still within the parameters of the Torah. I haven't worshipped no false god. I haven't done anything that was abominable to the Creator. I'm simply acknowledging that I love my wife and I'm thankful that we were able to make it together through these 28 years. Let's come together. Let's honor that. I'm not wrong for doing that. I plan to do something this anniversary coming up. I'm not wrong for that. But if I'm saying, hey, y'all, me and my wife, we've been together for 28 years. Y'all come on down to Martin's East, you know, and bring a friend. We're going to be partying from 9 until. We're going to do it like the big boys do. But my point is, no, we're not supposed to do all of that. You know, people, even they be having these parties. You don't have to bring no guests, money only. No, we ain't doing all of that. That's something between, that's special to me and my wife. You know, is it wrong for me to be thankful, especially now when the day that a child was born comes up, to be thankful that that child made it through another year? Because I just lost a son. I'm thankful that my other son made it to see the birthday he made it to see, because I got a son that ain't going to skip no more time. Whoever blessed him to see another year. I'm wrong for thanking him for that. Come on, son. 30 years ago today, guess what? Abba gave you to me. See, it's about perspective sometimes. I'm not trying to worship a false deity and doing that.
It's saying that, Rabbi, you keep saying the point, but people miss. You're giving thanks and praise and honor to the Most High.
Exactly.
Who made everything exist and come into existence. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to the point where, like you said, that the things that make the idolatry and the worship of the false deity,
right,
don't break out the big sheet cake, 67 candles,
right,
and you know, the balloons and
right,
the mm-hmm, no, we don't get to all that. But
right,
close your eyes, make a wish.
Right.
So what I'm wishing for, I believe
exactly
in the Most High that created it.
Amen.
On the heavens, earth, all is His. I can
amen
ask for what I want.
That's right.
Through prayer and supplication.
That's right.
That's what we fail to realize.
That's right. Amen.
He said, who to find a wife gets a good thing.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Proverbs.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I can't thank you for giving me her. Thank you for giving me
thankful
the taking to dinner.
Amen. And we just have to be careful that we not, again, going back to that little word we talked about, aggrandizing, that we're not aggrandizing these things, because sometimes in humanity we got a tendency to do that. You know, we have a tendency to do that. I mean, for a lot of people. Another point, you know, you have certain milestones, right? Now, this year, I mean, and we've been some degree in like a stair step among the brothers, you know. We don't know how old the sisters is, so we can't include y'all in the little stair step. But every year for the past few years, a brother been hitting that 50 mark. Bam, 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 bam. Well, this year, most high willing, it'll be my year to hit that 50 mark. You know, that's a blessing. You know, I mean, I'm a young man. I'm a child. I mean, you're talking about Abraham had his first, well, he got the promised child at 100 years old, his father's house. You know, I'm a young man, 50 years old almost. You know, that's a milestone. I'm technically supposed to be retired at 50 years old, especially from doing this. That's what the scripture says, you know. But anyway, you have these milestones, these acknowledgments that people do, and sometimes they have a tendency of going overboard with it. But we can go overboard with things pertaining to the Creator, too. Go ahead.
I got one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of it sometimes. I come to worship. All of a sudden, we got 10 guests that I wouldn't even know we was getting. Nobody told us. They just wanted to surprise. Let's surprise our brothers in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I go up and get some food.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's the Sabbath.
Right.
But is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath?
Amen.
For my brothers, or somebody came to visit us,
amen,
on the Sabbath? I'm supposed to just let them starve, or like you said,
amen,
James, like, well, I'm glad you came, bro, but you can't have none of this. We have a cracker and off of my plate.
Amen.
Am I wrong for going out going, man, 17 people here, we wasn't expecting this.
Amen.
They surprised us. I'm guilty of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, and again, that's why the Messiah gave that example as far as the working on the Sabbath, right? Now, He said, if which one of you see your friend or you see your ox laid over in a ditch, and it's on the Sabbath day, who not going to lay hold on that ox and pull him out of that ditch? Okay, and when he said that, sometimes, and this is the reality, sometimes emergent situations are going to arise where you may have to do something. I saw a movie. I can't remember the name of the movie. It was a Jewish movie, though, and we watched it one Sabbath. Now, what it was about, this man was, you know, when they get into the prayers, they were so dedicated and things like that. But he had a son with him, and he wasn't watching his son. And his son ran off, and because he was so into the prayers and stuff like that, he wasn't watching his son. And next thing you know, his son gets swept away by the waves, and he dies. But in his mind, I'm doing the right thing because I'm not letting this thing break forth my prayer. But hold up. What about somebody's life, man? You see? So when you have these different situations, we have to be mindful of, again, what are we permitted to do, what are we prohibited from doing. Now, even with the story about the ox and the ditch, hold up. If people come in every week, hold up now. Y'all got to give us some heads up if y'all going to be coming here so we can have some food prepared for y'all. You know, we ain't going to just be popping up every week and we got to go out and buy something for you. No, if you going to come, give us a ring. Because, see, the last time, and we can do that. Hey, we love the fellowship. We're glad that y'all came to visit. But if y'all going to come next time, give us a heads up so we can prepare enough food for everybody. See? But, hey, if it was something that just happened spur of the moment, yeah, fine. Make sure everybody has something to eat. But in the future, the way that story goes, if that ox starts falling in at this every Sabbath day, what do you say? Get rid of it. Get rid of that ox. Because now what's going to happen, that's going to be the excuse. All the adversary got to do, he got to find, oh, so if I let this thing, or if I bring about that thing, and this going to stop me from doing this, guess what? He going to strike you with it every time. And then what you going to do? You're going to miss the Sabbath. You're going to miss the Sabbath. You're going to miss the Sabbath every time. So we got to stop doing that. If that ox fall in the ditch a little bit too much, time to get rid of it, you know. And that's what we, that's where we have to see the seriousness of even of this day. I mean, it's no joke when it comes to these celebrations. Again, so going back to the point, when it comes to birthdays, anniversaries, no, we don't believe in no all-out big bang celebrations for that. Okay? That's not what the Torah teaches. But within the parameters of the Torah, nothing wrong with being thankful to Yahweh for allowing you to live to see another year, for allowing your marriage to survive another year, to be thankful for allowing your offspring to see another year and thanking him for that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But as far as the celebration, and like you were talking about, a lot of the symbols to go with the celebration, we don't get into all of that here. You know, we don't do that. It's the Sabbath day and it's the high holy days. Those that you want to have an all-out bang celebration, that's when we do it for those times. Okay? So that being said, we're going to stop for right now. And I believe Brother Dewal be bringing out the word today. Okay, amen. So we'll be hearing the Torah from Brother Dewal today. All right. Coco. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills. All of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we come before you, Heavenly Father, lifting our hands and worshiping you and praising you for all the good that you have done in each and every one of our lives. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us and allowed us to see another Shabbat, which means, Heavenly Father, that you have taken us through this past week. Regardless of the ups and downs, twists and turns that we went through, we are alive and we made it to worship you on another Sabbath day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We pray, gracious and merciful Father, that you lead your teacher today, Brother Dewal, to bring forth your word according to your divine will, that we all receive edification according to the Torah, according to the teaching, Heavenly Father, that you have inspired by your servants, the prophets. In the name of your Son, Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those who on this day have gathered together in your name according to your divine will, that your blessing be upon each and every one of us, that you forgive us for our sins, that you strengthen us by your spirit, that we may all continue in your word through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom. What? Whatever. But. Shabbat Shalom. My key, how you been? Good to see you.
Thanks for the most time.
Good. Shabbat Shalom, my key. How you doing?
All right.
Shabbat Shalom, my brother. All right. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Always. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs. All the glory belongs to you.
Yeah.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah. God. No.
Our desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say, ha, ha, hallelujah.
Glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now. Come on, sing.
All the glory belongs.
All the glory belongs to you.
To you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
All the
glory belongs to you,
oh God. Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. We lift your high. All the earth is.